This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Friday, August 12th. Well, it's crop report day today, finally, and we'll get a look at USDA's estimates for row crops in particular. That's the main interest of the trade, and seeing just how aggressive USDA is going to be in ratcheting down yields and production for corn and soybeans. Of course, weather has been brutal across the southern and central plains and into the western Midwest, and up into the northern plains as well here over the last few weeks. So USDA has been fairly slow in reducing their estimates for production. In fact, we've just started to see crop condition ratings drop. So it may not be that they will take their estimates down very much. In fact, probably not, even though most of the trade has started to take a hatchet to some of these yields for even corn and soybeans in particular. It's unlikely that USDA will be that aggressive. So we'll get those numbers at 10 o'clock Mountain Time and go from there. The trade estimates, however, for yield for corn at 175.9, that would be down 1.1 bushels an acre from last month. And production at 14.392 billion bushels is down 113 million from last month. Ending stocks for corn, the average estimate is 1.4 billion bushels. That's down 68 million from last month. In soybeans, average yield estimate at 51.1 is down 0.4 from last month. Production at 4.48 billion bushels is down 24 from last month. Ending stocks basically unchanged at 230 million bushels. For wheat, we don't see a lot of changes there. They're estimating ending stocks at 639, basically in line with last month. What we could see as a surprise for wheat would be an increase in spring wheat production. The spring wheat tour showed us record yields in North Dakota. Now, since then, there's been significant heat and dryness, which would shave off those yields, but we'll see what USDA does. Again, it's just been lately that we started to see the drop in crop condition ratings. So my guess is, from a wheat perspective domestically, would probably lean toward expecting a bearish report, probably lean toward a bullish report for corn and soybeans. When you look at the broader world market, I would think USDA is going to have to really ratchet down European production, especially for corn, but also for wheat, and in particular, French corn production. They probably will increase Russian production, probably take down Ukraine production. So there will be some adjustments there, as there usually are, but Russia in particular, the USDA just seems to be way behind where the other estimates are. Two separate independent analysts in Russia are just significantly higher in wheat production than USDA. Again, would USDA take that big of a step in increasing their production? It's hard to say, but it's definitely a bearish development for the wheat space, assuming Russia gets the wheat exported. I think the issues are not only because of the war, and we've talked at length about that, having difficulty getting insurers for the vessels, and then the payment system, of course, but also just the general export capacity of Russia is pretty much maxed out where they've been the last couple years. With the kind of production that they're projecting, you know, they could theoretically export upwards of another 4 or 5 million tons of wheat, but it's just that their ports likely can't handle it. And so these next few weeks, maybe next couple months, will be really important to kind of get the tone for Russia's capacity to get grain moved out, and primarily it would be wheat. They are having trouble, and I would venture to say that if Russia is having trouble moving their grain into the export channel, they're not going to continue to let Ukraine export grain. Now, Ukraine has been moving vessels out that have been loaded since February. To date, over the last 2 weeks since that agreement was signed, there have been 14 ships that have left port in Ukraine. One of those ships is wheat, and it's on its way to Turkey. But again, I just don't see Russia allowing that to continue if they can't get their product into the world pipeline. And most of that, of course, will be new crop. Most of their old crop was already gone before the war started. So this is been, you know, it's a thorn in their side. They can't get the volumes move they'd like to, especially right after harvest when they typically dominate world trade. They've been a pretty quiet factor there. They have an export tax, which doesn't make sense. If they really want to get things moving, lower the tax, make it cheaper to do it. But still, they have to be able to find the payment system that their buyers will work with. So there's a lot of variables when it comes to Russia, but the bottom line there, they just cut a monster crop and it can sit in storage for a while until things get ironed out with Ukraine. But at some point, that grain is going to hit the world pipeline. There's a higher percentage than normal of feed quality in the Russian wheat, and perhaps that's why they're keeping that export tax on for now. But still, it's a lot of grain that eventually will find its way into the world export market. French crop conditions for corn were lowered again. Speaking of taking a hatchet to something, down 9 points from last week alone. We're sitting at 53% good to excellent for corn. That's down 30 points in just a month. And it's the lowest crop rating we've seen for corn since 2011. Just to give some perspective on the devastation that's going on over in Europe. You know, we've been following this drought, and it's been pretty obvious that they're going to come in with some short crops, but this gives some numbers to that. And again, you know, USDA's report today will be as of August 1, and most of these crop conditions started declining after that. So it might be September's report before you really get these better numbers from USDA. But in the meantime, the private estimates are going to come flooding into the market, and it's a bullish development for corn. You look at this corn situation, and it's going to be big, I think. And then yet on top of that, already you have still a profitable position for ethanol blenders, but you've also got this new bill being passed by Congress that's going to significantly increase the incentive for clean energy. That just ramps up the demand for biofuels. So this is it's a long-term bullish development and a short-term bullish factor in this market, on top of a market that's already been in a bull market for a while now. Normally, you'd be kind of running at the end of your rope here as far as the bull status, but we just simply don't have the supply worldwide to take this market into a bear market. At worst, we'd be in a sideways market. But I think, considering the sell-off that we've seen here over the last couple months, that we are going to start another upward move here in corn. I think corn will be the leader, but beans will be right behind. You know, you're probably doing more damage to the bean crop over these last couple of weeks of heat and dryness in the Midwest primarily than you did the corn crop. But there's more demand base for corn, and you have this decimation of the corn crop in Europe that really underscores the potential bullishness of the corn crop itself. That is a direct link to wheat, to pull wheat higher. And so I think all these grains start to move higher as we work our way into the fall. For wheat, we've got a big spring wheat harvest to be harvested. Has barely even begun, if it has at all, in North Dakota, but that's just around the corner. The next 2, 3 weeks across the Northern Plains, you're going to see a huge amount of spring wheat being cut. And I think that's going to keep pressure on the wheat space. But once we get past that, which basically you're shooting for the end of August, early September, you start to work your way higher into the fall. And I think by then, you know, the corn harvest will have started by then as well in the South. And that'll bring some cash corn to market. That'll tamp down your basis. But ultimately, I think both of these crops, and soybeans, of course, all of the major grains, start to work their way higher into the fall and through the winter. If you have any questions, feel free to call 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.